and I will be your servant today. And actually, we're all servants. That is the call that has been placed on our lives through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to love and serve our heavenly Creator, God the Father, as well as God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. And on this Palm Sunday, I am grateful to you for your presence here in this worship space. And we will worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. I know we have guests among us, and we're always good at picking you out. So don't worry, we'll come to you and introduce ourselves and make you feel quite at home among us. We are so glad to have you today. And if there's anything we can do to make you feel more comfortable and at home with us, just speak up and we will be there for you. Let's greet one another with the peace of Christ.
Good morning. It is great to be in the house of the Lord today. Beautiful day. Everyone's smiling and happy. I just have an announcement for myself that I have to do. Yesterday, I was here at the Easter egg hunt, and I was the storyteller for the Christian story about Jesus. And when I first sat down and we decided to go ahead and start, we had a few children down on the floor. As I was reading, more children and more children came in. And all of a sudden I looked up and the whole floor was covered, you know. So that in itself was pretty amazing. How many? 35 children. And That's a blessing in itself that we had here. I hope that we were able to touch every one of them, including their parents, that they would maybe want to come back and see us and see what we're all about. It looked like they all were having just a grand time, but for myself, it was just a blessing to be able to read to them. I've been told now I'm into the fold now, according to Teresa Long. I'm in the fold now of storytelling. But in any case, it was a great blessing. And even if you didn't have any children, and you should have come, because it was really quite spectacular just to see the smiles and all these children's faces and stuff. So I really, really enjoyed that. If you all don't know me, my name is Rhonda Barlow, and I am your liturgist. And as Pastor Esther said, I am your servant for today. If there's anything that I can do for you, please let me know. We do have some announcements in your bulletin, of course. Now, there is announcement inside your bulletin as far as Easter Sunday and some of the events that are happening that morning. You want to make the announcement about the breakfast?
Yes, we have a sign-up sheet out in the hallway by the pastor's office. I do need people to bring some food for breakfast so we can eat. And then, if I may add one more announcement, I have a bereavement dwindling because people are moving away. But I need more volunteers for that. So if you would come up to me and let me know, or call the church and say you want to be a part of it, I would appreciate that as well. So when someone passes, it's just a blessing for the family to be able to have a meal to with their family. So that's all I have.
But again, please pay attention to the events that are happening that morning and the times, so that you'll be able to attend the service and hear the cantata that is going to be going on. We also have a food pantry that's happening on April 21st. There is a need of canned goods, peanut butter, pasta, sauce, jelly, and also the little bags that you get from like Publix or Winn-Dixie. They're in desperate need of those. The plastic bags for the food pantry. Also, too, in the hallway, your statements are available if you would go get those as well. And then I think Barbara would like to say something. Sorry. Again, if you would just take a look at your bulletin, there are several announcements in there that you might want to mark on your calendar so that you don't miss them. Are there any other announcements, Pastor Esther? Any announcements out here in the congregation? Okay. Let's go on to our opening words. Like the crowds, we call out, Hosanna, God save us. Jesus, our Savior, save us from sin and death. Like the crowds, we cry out, crucify him. Jesus, our Savior, save us from sin and death. Like Peter and the others, we deny God and scatter. Jesus, our Savior, save us from sin and death. Like Judas, we fall to the temptation of wealth and power. Jesus, our Savior, save us from sin and death. Save us, O Christ, forgive us and call us into life. In this time of worship,
May we remember, may we repent, and may we seek you anew. Amen.
If you would please stand and turn to page 277 in your hymnal, we'll sing Tell Me the Stories of Jesus. Please turn to 887. We'll have our affirmation of faith. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, or persecution or famine, or nakedness or peril or sword?
No. In all things we are more than conquerors. The one who loved us. We are sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God. In Christ Jesus our Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
He was riding on a donkey, and people spread out their cloaks and the palm branches they waved in the air for Jesus to come. And they said, Hosanna to the King! Hosanna to the King, which means God save us. God save us, King Jesus. So we give parades to kings and other important people, and Jesus was certainly a king. But he was a different kind of king than we've ever seen before. What do you think a king should be? What is your idea of a king? Zachary? A king should be somebody who saves people. That's certainly what Jesus did, but most people thought a king was somebody rich and powerful. They sit on a big throne and they say, you do this and you do that, and everything was done that they said to be done. If not, you got thrown into prison because the king was in charge of everything. Now, was that the kind of king that Jesus was? Can you tell me what kind of a king Jesus was? If not the usual king, he wasn't wealthy. He didn't have a lot of money. And he was very humble. He came riding into the city on the back of a donkey instead of this great big horse. This, you know, the horse with all the decorations on it that you see in parades, the big horses that come through. He didn't ride that. He rode on a donkey. So he was a humble and different kind of king. He was the kind of king that would later sacrifice himself. He gave of himself for others. So Zachary, you were entirely right. He saved us through his sacrifice. And that's the kind of parade that we have. We celebrate Jesus as our King and Lord and Savior. Let's bow our heads and have a prayer. Thank you, O God, for all of your children in this kingdom. And we pray your blessing upon them as they grow in your grace and strength. May you continue to walk with them throughout their lives and keep them well on their journey. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now you may have candy. Worship and serve our God through the giving of our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings. Will the ushers please come forward? Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you so much for the good gift of life. You are the author of every good and perfect gift, and we praise your holiness and your holy name today. And may we be your children called for service in the world as we give ourselves to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. And I know that's what people were doing the day that they, the day that our Lord came into Jerusalem. They were rejoicing. Hosanna to the King. And this morning we're going to enter into a time of prayer this morning. I want to mention those that I'm aware of. Kitty Fuller is home from the hospital now. She was hospitalized most of last week, but she's home and recovering there, so we want to remember her. And I just learned that Clarita's brother Donnie passed away, and so we're remembering Clarita and traveling mercies for her trip to be with her brother's family as she goes up there to mourn him. And I know there are others that need to be lifted up, and would just ask that if you feel called to do so in our moments of silence, if God speaks to you, you may share the name of someone, a place in the world, or a situation in life that needs today to have God's healing, peaceful touch surrounding them in a special way. Let's bow our heads and go to God in prayer.
Our church.
Pastor Esther.
A.C. Haney.
Our children.
Nicole Green.
Our children and our grandchildren.
Elizabeth.
The children of Syria. The needs are great, but you are a great God.
Yes.
And we trust in you for all of our needs. We trust in you that the power of your presence goes even before us, before we are aware of the need. You are there. We give you thanks today and praise, for you are our King, and we praise you as the Holy Son of God. Be with those today whom we have shared and those who remain unspoken. You, dear Lord, are bigger than any need that we have. Be with those who are suffering loss or suffering illness or just plain suffering. You love your children everywhere in this world, and you weep when we weep. We do not cry alone. Help us to be your people in this community, sent to the world to share the good news of your great love. In Jesus' name, we pray the prayer that he taught us to pray by saying, Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
If you would please stand and turn to 314 in your hymnals, we'll sing In the Garden. It's a fairly new hymn. I know most of you have not heard it.
I hope I can read it for you guys. That song that we just sang was one that Mom and I did. Our scriptures this morning were out of Philippians. It is chapter 2, verse 5 through 11. And it starts on page 240 in your pew Bible. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Christ Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Thanks be to God.
Some of you know that two important members of my family are my dogs. I know you thought I was going to say my mom and dad, but sorry, Mom and Dad. But if you have any furry children, you know what I mean. Well, the great Sir Isaac Newton had a dog that he loved very much. Wherever Newton went, his dog was with him. And the story goes that he had worked for months and months on a theory about the nature of the universe, working late every night by candlelight, his table covered with papers and the papers covered with theorems and formulas and conclusions. Well, late one night, Newton got up from the table to leave the room, and the dog jumped up and bumped the table, knocking the candlestick over, which set all of his papers on fire. He came back into the room to find years of work gone up in flames. He put out the fire and sat on the floor and wept. And his dog nuzzled up to him and licked his face. And Newton hugged his dog and he said, "You will never, ever know what you have done." The story is also told that when Eve took the fruit from the tree, and Adam took the fruit from Eve, things fell apart. And God looked at Adam and Eve and said, "You will never, ever know what you have done." What began in Adam and Eve continues in us. Each of us plays out our own little personal Garden of Eden, in which we discover our capacity for doing things that tear God's creation apart. Now, back when I was young and knew everything, I had not had the time or the creativity to really mess things up in my life. So I didn't worry too much about the sinfulness of humanity in general or my sinfulness in particular. But I'm older now, and I don't even like to think about the ways that I have been less than I meant or hoped to be. I have not just failed to do good. I have, on occasion, done bad and knew I was doing bad when I did it. And I did it anyway. And I don't know why. I have no other excuse than the fact that I am human, and that is what humans do sometimes. I don't blame anyone else or anything else, not my mother, not my daddy, not my environment, or anything. It was just me and my life and an occasional fit of sorriness. And I am sorry. But I also have, and I think all of us have as well, a deep, deep need for a voice beyond myself who will neither condone my misdeeds nor condemn me for them. And of course, we meet that voice, that God, in the one who did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but rather emptied himself and came to be one of us, to live with us, to die with us and for us on the cross. Now, I had a woman in one of my churches, I will call her Miss Mildred, from an earlier time, who never, never threw anything away. She didn't have children of her own, but she had nieces and nephews, and they complained to her about this. She said, "You never know when you might need it." And they said to her, "Well, you have to be able to find it in order to use it when you need it." But she was confident that she knew where all her its were. So you could ask her about a bill or a letter or something like that, and she would say, "It's in the back bedroom in the left-hand corner of the closet, third shoebox from the left, in a plastic bag." And lo and behold, she'd be right. I think God is a little bit like Miss Mildred. God shares her passion for saving everything and her awareness of everything she had saved. God doesn't, thank goodness, condemn useless and unholy trash to Gehenna, the fiery garbage heap outside the walls of Jerusalem. Instead, where others see unworthiness, God sees something worth saving, something worth hanging on to, something worth taking a risk for, something worth making a great effort for, indeed, something worth dying for. And God knows where all that saved stuff is. God cares about that which God has saved. On top of that, it is God's will that it all be saved, because God made it all, and God loves it all, no matter what it has done. And by it, I mean we, no matter what we have done. The gospel is that it is because of our great need and God's great sorrow over our great need that Christ came into the world, emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. And so the great question is not whether or not God loves us. That question has been settled and answered once and for all by Christ on the cross. The question is, are we being obedient to our call to take up our cross and follow? Now, many of you are probably familiar with and have even been to the Grand Ole Opry in Nashville. Have some of you done that? Yeah. It used to be, did you know, originally it was a church. And an old-time evangelist by the name of Sam Jones was the pastor. And the story is that he was holding what the holiness folks called a quitting meeting, during which the people confessed their sins and swore off drinking and smoking and cussing and running around with people they weren't married to and such like misbehavior. Well, the meeting had reached an important emotional point, and Jones called on one very self-righteous woman in the congregation and asked her what she was going to quit. And she said, "I ain't been doing nothing, and I'm going to quit that too." Now, we're Protestants, and we Protestants learned a long time ago that there's nothing we can do to make God love us. Nothing we have to do to earn God's love or our salvation. The problem is, some of us learn that a little too well, and we do nothing in response to God's love for us. And so God calls upon us today to quit doing nothing in response to the gospel. We are called to give ourselves for others as Jesus gave himself for us. We are called to care about the hurts and the pains of others as Jesus cared about our hurts and pains. We are called to lead lives of obedience to Jesus' call to us to take up our cross and follow him. This we must do on a daily basis. Follow him into the world with hope in our hearts, with acts of love in our hands, and with words of grace and promise on our lips. May it be so, precious Lord. May it be so. Amen and amen.
If you would please stand and turn in your hymnals to page 140, we'll sing "Great Is Thy Faithfulness."
what it is that you need to quit today. I'm not even sure of everything I need to quit, but I know who's there to catch me. I know who's there to walk with me and see me through. And I pray that God will continue to, morning by morning, show you his mercy. Because all we have needed, his hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord, unto me. Yes. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit rest now and abide with each of you as you leave this place. Go in his peace.
Yes. Amen. Amen.